Hello, everybody. I'm George from Ireland. Well, saying requiescat in pace to Roger Cooper, who just died a couple of days ago. So he was a very colourful and courageous character, best known for being wrongfully imprisoned in Iran on bogus charges of espionage. So he was born about 90 years ago in the United Kingdom. And Robert Graves of Goodbye to All That and I, Claudius, he was his uncle, because Graves of that famous soldier in the First World War, partly of German descent, which made it awkward, and then wrote his memoir of the First World War. So Cooper grew up in a middle-class family, and after the Second World War, he went to Oxford University, but he dropped out. I think he went to St. John's, the same college as his famous uncle, and then he went to one of the London universities, completed a degree in Persian. So as he's such an enthusiast for Persian culture, he traveled to Iran to perfect his Persian. Now, you might think you're quite intrepid venturing to Iran these days. Imagine what it was like in the late 1950s when there was a huge gulf between Iran and the Western world. Having said that, it was fairly secular under the Shah, and upper middle class Tehranite women would wear Western clothes, even knee length skirts occasionally be unveiled and the rest of it. Alcohol was completely legal. There'd be music and dancing. Now, Iran is a big country, both in population and in area. So in the countryside, it could be sort of centuries behind in mentality. He was very happy there, dabbling in business. He married an Iranian. He had some children, but he had no particular job. He represented various companies in and out of Iran, back and forth between the United Kingdom. And perhaps unwisely, he went back there again after the Islamic Revolution in January 1979, when the Shah fled. That's the emperor of Iran, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, who was then stricken with terminal non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. That was a closely guarded secret, died a year and a half later. And it wasn't clear what was going to happen when he flew out of the country, supposedly for medical treatment, because were communists going to take over? Were liberals going to turn it into Western-style democracy? Or was it going to be the theocrats? Well, it was the latter. So it was the religious reaction took over. And that's when this compulsory veiling, alcohol was outlawed, no images of women in the could be published and things like that. So they sort of returned to religious mania. Women's sport was outlawed. And I can't think what else. They became ultra hostile to both the United States and the Soviet Union. And soon that war against Iraq commenced. So it became extremely puritanical. So they went back a millennium in just a few months. So an unusual place to choose to be, even if you're enthusiastic for the Persian language, of which he had absolute mastery. So he had no particular job, which obviously aroused the suspicions of Iranian intelligence. So he was wrote how he was farcically apprehended in 1985, when they jumped into his car, wanted to blindfold him, and then the boss of this operation harangued his subordinate for having forgotten the blindfold. They didn't know that part of Tehran very well, so Roger Cooper was able to advise them where to find something that functioned as a blindfold. So I don't know why they didn't say, "Police, you're under arrest," and kidnap him. But anyway, eventually he was taken to prison, Evin prison, that notorious penitentiary in Tehran, and interrogated. He doesn't seem to have been tortured, perhaps surprisingly, even though he sort of overheard the most horrendous tortures inflicted on anybody else. How he maintained his composure, I don't know. I would have been bricking myself, because I'm sorry to say, but Iran had a richly deserved reputation for extreme brutality towards dissidents, let alone those suspected of being spies. The United States was the great Satan. In their view, the United Kingdom was the little Satan, remembering, obviously, the USA and the United Kingdom had engineered the overthrow of Mohammad Mossadegh in about 1952, the reform-minded prime minister, who was a secularist who wanted to nationalize the Anglo-Persian petroleum company so that more of the money would stay in the country. So and so even Iranian liberals find it very difficult to forgive the United Kingdom for that. Had it not been for that, Iran might have been a different trajectory, would have been a constitutional monarchy. A lot of the upheaval and grief might have been avoided. This is in the midst of the Iran-Iraq war in the 1980s. The United Kingdom and most of the Western world was indeed selling arms to Iraq, because they saw that the Ba'athists under Iraq were not as dangerous to the rest of the world as the Islamic Republic of Iran, wanting to export its revolution to take over Iraq, as they would see it, to liberate the oppressed Shia minority, and maybe Bahrain, which has also got a Shia majority, maybe even the eastern province of Saudi Arabia, which has also got a Shia majority and most of the oil, and so on, link up with Syria, ruled by a secular Shia minority, and so forth. So selling weapons to Iraq. So it was foolhardy at best of him to stay in Iran. But yeah, and so the Iranians couldn't think, well, how are you here? You're doing what in particular? But I suppose you could show them his bank accounts and how he was making his money. It's very, very easy to monitor his communications. But, you know, obviously paranoia had set in. They were taking no chances. Put on trial. And then he wasn't informed of the sentence for some time. The prison governor comes along and courteously tells him that he's been awarded the death sentence plus 10 years. So how does that work? And the governor says, we'll probably detain you for 10 years and execute you. And Roger Cooper does Mr. Beat say, well, please don't do it the other way around. So he managed to keep his humor up and maintain his sanity, was in solitary confinement for a long time. I'm not sure how he managed to take such a detached view of it. I would be saying, oh my God, what a fool I was. I shouldn't have come here. I should have stayed safe at home. All the fun I could be having now, people I could be with, could be eating, drinking, doing whatever I want, just walking wherever I want, cycling, going on holiday, and they ruin it now. Maybe going to be executed. But after fire, and then the British representations managed to get him moved to out of solitary to a cell with others. He was rather miffed, like being on his own. Remember, the United Kingdom didn't have an ambassador in the 1980s. After some Iranian revolutionary youths broke into the US embassy, took dozens of American diplomats and Marines hostage, eventually, most Western embassies, the Canadians, the British, so on, they pulled out of Iran. And then if things couldn't get any worse, then there was that fatwa, that official declaration from the Grand Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, declaring that, oh my God, the name will come to me, Salman Rushdie, the British Indian novelist, must be punished with death for publishing this send-up of Islam that called The Islamic Verses in 1989. So obviously Brits were not flavor of the month in Tehran. But anyway, almost inexplicably, in 1991, he was released. I suppose it was after the Gulf War over Kuwait. Iraq's name was Mud. Iran saying, could they re-ingratiate themselves with the rest of the world? And so on. So it was part of that. And I remember watching it as a child when he was released and saying, well, I've not had alcohol for a few years for reasons one quite might guess, with a typical British understatement. And wow. He was so upbeat, such a buoyant character, so irrepressible. I don't know how he managed to keep his spirits up in those dank and fetid dungeons after all those years. So he's been called to his reward about 90. And when he was told, well, tell us about the British intelligence network, he simply made up some complete fantasy based on some novel he'd read in an Evelyn Waugh novel. And then the Iranians initially... They bought it, and then they read somewhere that actually he was taking the mick out of them. All right, so that is Roger Cooper. They don't make him like that anymore. Thanks for watching my video. Toodaloo.